Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ian Rappaport, brought to you by Wallhauer Paint and Design, Benjamin Moore's largest paint dealer in Westchester, Putnam, and Rockland County, and by OddsTrader.com, where the pros go to handicap, at Rapsheet on Twitter. Ian, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Ian, how are you?
What's going on? How you guys doing?
We're all right. Here's the most important question every Giant fan wants to know. What can they get for Evan Engram at the trade deadline?
I mean, I think there's going to be – I think there would be significant interest in Evan Engram. I'm just not convinced that the Giants would trade him.
Why?
Honestly. Because even though the performance has been frustrating, and I mean, I have eyeballs. I saw last night. I had the same reaction, I'm sure. I should not say I had the same reaction Giants fans had last night, but I definitely had the shock that he dropped that very, very catchable, beautiful game-ending pass. The talent is there. He has stayed healthy. He has shown flashes. I believe the coaching staff really likes him. I'm not saying he's untouchable. I don't think anyone on the Giants, honestly, is untouchable right now except for maybe one or two players. I just think that in order to trade him, they would have to get a very, very, very good deal. So not impossible,
right?
But I would say not likely.
What is – because I was just saying this to Joe. We were going back and forth about what would be worth trading him for from a Giant perspective. Is getting back a third-round pick realistic? Is that asking too much, or is that sound about right of what he could get on the open market?
I mean, I think that's probably in the ballpark, right? Because let's say he leaves as a free agent in a couple of years, you would get a, you know, and he signs a big deal because that means on the field he's done very well, you'd get a third-round compensatory pick. So basically for former – you know, for former free agents or former first rounders, who you trade, you basically a third rounder is kind of the starting point. That's what Fowler got. That's what was basically around what Leonard Williams got. I mean, that's sort of what the market is. I think you could probably get a little better than that for Evan Engram. Mm. I'm just not sure that the Giants really want to be trading talented young players who aren't a pain in the butt, and I don't get the sense he is at all.
Giants have another four-win season. Gettleman's gone?
I know outside the building, that's been a lot of the discussion. I get the same questions you guys have from other, you know, certainly from up-and-coming general manager candidates, certainly, because that would be a great spot. And I think a lot of people really believe in what Joe Judge is doing, so a lot of the young executives around the league, that's a place where they're like, all right, we could really win there. I wonder if it came down to that, and I think they're going to be better than four wins because, you know, they've lost some tough games, but I think down in and down out, they've played well. Not that that means anything, but I wonder if Gettleman will have a say in his future. In other words, if it's not working out, I wonder if it'll be more of a retirement than a firing. Mm. I just haven't gotten the sense that it's headed there. I mean, usually when you have a young coach, you know, who you like and things don't go well, usually the GM goes first. I just haven't gotten the sense it's headed there as of right now with the Giants. Now, obviously, there's some, you know, there's been certainly some roster moves that you would not agree with and that put them in this position. But if you believe that he was heavily involved in the coaching search, if you believe that he got the quarterback right, then it makes it a much more complicated decision to fire him just because of the record.
Looking at this division, you know, Philadelphia gets a win. I'm not sure what the Philadelphia Eagle fan is thinking today. I mean, they're probably, I guess, relieved that they won, but probably overall disgusted with their team anyway. But they had some injuries.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Well, there's
frustration with Doug Peterson, definitely. I think probably less so with Carson Wentz, but there's some angst there, as you can imagine.
Anyway, no, I can, and they also have high expectations. I mean, they just won a Super Bowl not that long ago, so it's not as if like making the playoffs would be enough for them. They want to win a championship. But what's the status of DeSean Jackson, Lane Johnson, two guys that played last night and got hurt again last night?
So Jackson, I originally thought it was a high ankle sprain. It's actually worse than that. It's like a high ankle sprain plus, basically. So he is out indefinitely. He's going on IR. I don't believe he's going to need surgery, but he's not going to play anytime soon. And you're probably looking at a December return if he returns. I was told there's a chance he returns, but it's going to be late in the season. So, you know, the DeSean Jackson, it's funny because like so many of these things, these moves, like that trade, generated so much attention. And in the end, DeSean Jackson will probably end up mattering for the Eagles for like 3 or 4 games. But anyway, so he's out indefinitely. And then Lane Johnson is out probably 1 game, maybe more, because he's got the knee MCL sprain, grade 1, not bad. But then he also has an ankle injury that he's been battling ever since he had surgery in the offseason. So I think they're going to say, you know what, go away, get healthy, come back in a couple games.
What's going on in Dallas with McCarthy? I mean, it looks like there's a mutiny going on with the Cowboys. How bad is it in the locker room?
I mean, it's not good. It's really not good. Everyone knew for a fact that Jason Garrett was a bad coach and needed to be gone. I feel like there's a renewed appreciation for Jason Garrett, the head coach in Dallas, because this never happened. They didn't always win, but you never had players openly calling out the coaching staff. I mean, I think on offense, things are fine. You need Andy Dalton to play better. Dak was playing great, all that. But on defense, I mean, it has been players openly questioning what they are being taught, if they are being taught anything. The effort has not been great, which is probably even worse to me than players questioning the coach. I mean, I don't think Mike Nolan is going to be fired during the season, but I wouldn't bet my life on it because things are very bad. I mean, they need a win. If they don't get a win or if the effort doesn't improve, something has to give. I just don't know exactly right now what it is.
That's amazing that this has gone so badly so quickly for the Dallas Cowboys.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about.
We all spent so much, and Cowboys fans spent so much time grumbling over Jason Garrett, and now, you know, they were always kind of like mediocre but a little bit better. I think they would take that right now easy.
Yeah, you know? Mediocre wins you the division. Yeah, mediocre easily gets you a home playoff game,
right,
essentially.
Right.
True.
Right.
True.
What's the latest on the Raiders with their COVID situation? We know the game got moved to the 4 o'clock hour. The offensive line was basically quarantining. What's the latest coming from? I think I said Oakland, by the way, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah,
I mean, I said Oakland on the air today too, and Raiders fans are tweeting me that I got to put money in the jar, like when Keith and Ron say Shea Stadium, which I still say. Anyway, so they have 2 players who tested positive. Basically, the entire offensive line is on the COVID-19 reserve list, which is like the My Cousin Vinny scene when the whole store got the flu. Like, the whole offensive line's on the list. But I think most of those guys are going to be able to play on Sunday if they have no more positive tests. So basically, they're just not going to be able to practice. So they think they're going to play. They think it's going to be the Sunday afternoon slot. It's just not going to be after having a week of practice. So, you know, that leaves a lot of questions. It leaves a lot of preparation unresolved, but this is the world. and they say they're ready to go, so they're going to go play.
How much longer do we endure Adam Gase? If they are 0-9, which they may very well be by the bye, is he gone at that point in time?
You know, I just don't know what the point is. I just don't, like, you know.
The point in what, like, firing him?
Yeah. I mean, really, like, you know, it's not like they're going to turn around and make the playoffs. This is so ridiculous.
I'll tell you what the point is.
Loud,
I'm going to tell you what the point is as a, you know, as you well know, 56-year Jet fan. The point is that he's gone. That's the point. The point is
right,
that he's out.
But what if the interim comes in and wins two? Yes, but what if the interim comes in and wins a game?
They're going to win. I think you could win two games and still get the first pick. That's me. What do you think about that?
Ooh.
I think 2-14. Well, who's? I mean, seriously, who is it? Washington? Is that the team you would most fear? I mean, tell me who. Atlanta? I don't buy Atlanta. Atlanta's going to win some games.
No, it would be Washington.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, Washington, the Jets, Atlanta. I mean, there's, you know, Jaguars would be if the wheels
maybe
come off
the Jaguars.
There.
I guess the Jaguars. Yeah.
But I mean, if you're not going to do it early to kind of turn the season around, like, it gets to this point. I mean, I guess you're right. Like, the point would be if at some point the owner says, you know, I cannot stand looking at this person, which it's not there yet. I'm just saying, I cannot stand looking at this person. I must fire him. It's also going to be interesting. Like, what about when Woody comes back? Like, that timing, you know, is that going to alter the decision-making process? If he just comes back in December?
But can I ask you this about Woody?
November?
Don't you think Woody and Christopher talk? Like, I understand that Woody's got a different job. He's over, you know, with our mother country across the pond. But, like, it's not like he's on another planet. Like, they can speak on a cell. He knows the Jets stink. I mean, he could get the Sunday ticket in England. Like, he can watch this. So, I've always wondered about this over the last 4 years since Woody's been gone. He's gone, but is he gone? Is he involved in any way with what's been going on?
I'm sure he knows. I mean, not I'm sure. I know he knows. I have definitely not gotten the sense that he's involved in day-to-day. And he's not supposed to be. And I have not gotten the sense that he is. Like, I have not talked to one person who has said, you know, we'll see what Woody says or thinks about this. It really seems like it is Christopher making the decisions. Obviously, like, you know, there are going to be times when Woody knows about things, but it really is Christopher running it. But then, you know, if Trump does lose and if Woody comes back, I don't know the exact timing of when ambassadorships are over.
It may end either way. I mean, one thing I've known about ambassadorships is that even if he has a second term, like, he may come back anyway. Like, it may not be dependent on the election result, too.
Right.
He could come back anyway, so.
But then, is that November or December? Or,
right.
You know, like, I mean, it's, you know, I have some areas of expertise, but international ambassadorships,
no, I understand.
Unfortunately, not.
I'll tell you one thing. When Woody was the owner, and when it was Woody and not Christopher, they were much better. Not that they were great, but they were in much better shape with him. To me, Christopher Johnson was like, Woody said, here, you know nothing about football, but don't worry, you're the owner. I mean, seriously, because, I mean, look, I don't think Woody knows that much, but at least under Woody, you know, there was some, you know, I mean, they did bring Herman Edwards in. They had good years with him. They did bring Rex in. They obviously had good years with him. With this guy, it's just been an out-and-out disaster. Disaster.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they definitely regret the timing of the Maccagnan decision. I know that.
What a mistake. Oh, my God.
I mean, it's not, you know, not good. And, you know, I see the rumors about, you know, Quinn and Williams potentially being traded. You know, who, we'll see. He's not.
Can you trade Quinn? Can I ask you this question? How can this friend, and I understand Joe Douglas, okay, I get it, he didn't draft him, okay? But I got to say it because this ticks me off. I got a franchise here that has – there's nobody – their number one picks, they're not even in the league anymore. D. Milner, Calvin Pryor, you know, Kyle Wilson. These guys are – Darren Lee. These guys aren't even playing in the league anymore. So now – Okay, so now you already got rid of your best player, Jamal Adams, because you can't pay him because he's a safety. God forbid you pay him. Oh, no, please. And I don't want to hear he talked himself out of town. That's nonsense. He talked himself out of town after Joe Douglas said, we're going to take care of you and bring you back. That's when he talked himself out of town. All right? So now you're going to trade a guy, the third overall pick in the draft, who actually looks like he's starting to look like a player now with dumping him. I understand Douglas didn't draft him, but I got to tell you, Ian, I'm tired of this. I'm tired. They are the worst drafting franchise in the history of mankind. And the last 10 years, it is abysmal. They have nothing. They got Quinnen Williams and Sam Donald. That's it as far as first-round picks in 10 years. What the hell is that?
I think the Browns would like a word on that.
Fine, the Browns. Okay, great. All right, big deal. So there's one other team that might be worse. Okay, so I'm supposed to throw a party for that? Is that what I'm supposed to do?
But you do raise a good question. So, like, why would they trade Quinnen Williams?
Yeah,
to me, there's only one reason, and it has nothing to do with the fact that Joe Douglas didn't draft him. The only reason to trade him is if his value in the minds of other NFL GMs, because remember, Quinnen Williams was someone, had the Cardinals not taken Kyler, they might have taken Quinnen at number one overall.
Okay.
So he was that good. Is he now, is the value of Quinnen Williams bigger in the eyes of other NFL GMs than he is actually on the field? In other words, do you think he's going to be a player? If you do, then you don't trade him. If you don't think he's going to be a player, then you definitely deal him for like a second round pick.
Yeah, but
or more.
Here's the problem I have. Okay, you're dealing him like the same thing with Jamal Adams. Oh, what a great haul they got for Jamal. Oh, my God, look at all these number ones, all these. Okay, you got to draft guys with these picks. Just because you trade and get this great draft choice, and especially, I don't know what Joe Douglas is going to be yet. So far, I'm not too thrilled with him. His draft can't even get on the field. But okay, but that's fine, all right? But I mean, at some point, you got to pick players that are actually productive players. It's ridiculous. No, really, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, at some point, you got to actually have guys on the field. It's just, that's one thing. I mean, not that I'm telling you anything you don't know, but that's, of all the Jamal Adams discussion, the only important thing to me is that they are miles away. Because if you thought they could compete this year, Jamal would help you. If you think they are 2 years away, then you should definitely trade him. And they clearly, I don't agree that he talked himself out of the league.
This makes no sense to me. But it makes no sense. It's like a revolving, like a merry-go-round that just goes around and around, and mistake after mistake. And then you finally get a player that's a legit, maybe the best at his position in the league. And I don't care what your record is. How do you just let these guys go? This is one of the reasons that they are the laughing stock, the disgraceful franchise they've been for half a century. It's trading Quinnen Williams to me is absurd.
I can't imagine, because I understand what you're saying about if you think that his value now is higher than what he can give you over the next few years, but they use such a premium pick on him that I wouldn't trade, unless I'm getting a first round pick back.
Right,
I would never even think of trading him at this point.
Which you're not. I mean,
I'm not trading. Why would we trade the guy?
It could be a late one, I guess, theoretically.
Late.
But I just, you know, I don't know. To me, it's like one of my colleagues was using this description talking about how the Vikings gave up a second plus for Yannick Ngakoue and then got back a third. It's like, well, you know, once you drive the car off the lot, you're not getting the value. And I'm like, okay. I get that, but it would be the same thing with Quinnen. It's like once he was drafted in the first round, played a little bit, it's like his value decreases. So that's why it'd be a second rounder. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if somebody would give that right now, honestly.
Well, that's why trading him doesn't make a lot of
sense. Makes no sense at all.
By the way, let me just say this about the Browns. Myles Garrett. All right. Now, I know that's an easy one. It was number one overall. Yeah. I get that, but... Yeah. He's a hell of a player. He's a dirty player.
Nick Chubb, I know he's hurt. He's pretty good, too, Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb, same draft a couple years ago.
How about the cornerback? How about the corner? How about the corner from Ohio State that everybody said was – right. How about him? He's pretty good, too. Okay.
I mean, this is the argument for starting over if you have the right Like, if you believe Joe Douglas is the right GM, and I think this year's draft class will end up being very good.
You do? Are they going to play?
I do.
Who do you think is going to be so good? Let me ask you a question. Okay, so let's start. Beckton looks good. Beckton looks good. Are we ever going to see Denzel Mims on the field? The third-round pick, Ashton Davis, that everybody went delirious for, his safety. He can't even play a down on defense. Third-round pick. What was so good about him? The other guy they drafted, the defensive end from Florida, I think he's in the witness protection program. I mean, are you kidding? This guy Perrine, whatever he is, LaMichael Perrine, he looks like, what does he look like? You know what he looks like? He looks like a wasted fourth-round pick. The best pick they have is the punter, who's a good punter, and he was a seventh-round pick, and he actually tackles guys too. So you tell me how great – you're telling me how great this draft class is going to be. Where? Where is that? Tell me.
He does punt a lot.
Okay, thank you.
He does.
All right. So you tell me how great that. I mean, you're acting like this is the Steelers draft in 1974. You know, Lynn Swann, John Stallworth, Jack Lambert. You know, I mean, I don't think so. Are you kidding ourselves?
I would say Becton is going to be, if he is available, he is going to be excellent.
He better be.
He does look excellent.
No, he looks good. He looks good when he plays.
Yeah,
I mean, look, hey, you know, like I said, Anthony Munoz comes to mind. I mean, of course.
I mean,
but I don't get. But Ian, where do you come off saying that this draft class is going to be good? Tell me. I just gave you the guys. Where is it outside of Becton? Who is Mims going to be a player? I don't know. Everybody else has got these high draft choice wide receivers that are great. When am I going to see this guy?
I will say this. let's put aside Becton because we've been through that.
Okay.
I think Mims is going to be very, very good.
Okay.
Now, he hadn't played, and I'm not going to do what I think in my head, which is compare him to another former first-round pick who played for the Giants, who didn't play for the first six games.
No, I thought the same thing, though, Ian. It's okay to say, because
Evan brought that up with Beckham. I get it. He brought it up.
I think of him because he did miss the first 5-6 weeks or whatever it was. You're right about that.
So they think very highly of him, and if you nail the first two picks, then whatever happens, you are good. So we'll see. In the end, it's either going to be Joe Douglas is going to – I mean, he's got a million draft picks, so he's either going to get it all right and they're going to be the Browns, and you're going to be like, okay, we're set up for 6 years, or you're not. And if you're not, then you start over, which, you know, you've been through before.
Here's something. But let's hit this point, because this is the biggest point to me. And forget even getting Trevor Lawrence. How about they got to get a real head coach in here? I mean, it is time now to hit on getting a legitimate, real NFL head freaking coach. And you tell me, who is that guy?
I mean, I would say, based on what I know right now, and I've done this for a long time, going through the coaching search process, I don't care anymore if someone's a play caller or not. I don't care what side of the ball they are. Mm-hmm. I don't care. So Eric Bieniemy is someone who I think will be a good leader.
Right.
He does not call the plays in Kansas City. I don't care. He would be someone to consider.
I would take Bieniemy, but would Bieniemy want the jet job when he could maybe I keep hearing Houston when he's got Deshaun Watson there in Houston. I mean, you know, that looks like a better job.
That does look good. It's hard to get a job. I mean, it is. I've heard a million of these coaching candidates hold out for the perfect job, and then what happens is they end up getting offered something, and they just take it because it is hard to get a job. Same thing with Matt Rhule. I mean, I think Matt Rhule really had, you know, a lot of good feelings about the Giants job last year. Got offered the Carolina job. It was a good offer, and he took it. Like, it's important, you know, a lot of times if you get offered a job, they make a good offer, you take it. Robert Saleh, I think, is someone to really consider.
He's a defensive coordinator for the Niners.
He's a defensive coordinator for the Niners. He is a good leader. He is a very charismatic guy and a good person.
But let me ask you this question, and this is what I would ask you about Saleh. He's a defensive guy. You're going to draft Trevor Lawrence, which I think they're going to do if they get the first pick in the draft. That Douglas didn't draft Donald. He's going to draft Trevor Lawrence, and he should.
Agreed.
And I want him. And I want Trevor Lawrence. Don't you more need an offensive guy to kind of be with this guy? Or you think that Saleh is the kind of guy that, like a Belichick, that he could transition himself from being, you know, a defensive coordinator into being an all-around guy? And, you know, we saw what Bill did with Brady.
to me, the only thing that's important is, can a guy lead your football team? You know, if you want a good play caller, you want someone, you know, hire a great quarterbacks coach, hire a great offensive coordinator. You can go find one, hopefully one that sticks around for a while so they don't keep getting hired away. I don't care about anything except hire a good leader. To me, like, that's more important than hiring an offensive coach to, you know, make sure that the first round pick is happy. Like, we'll see what happens in Miami, but Brian Flores, you know, seems to be doing a very, very
good job. I like Brian Flores. I think Brian Flores is good. I do. That's me.
Defensive coach who has a great relationship with Tua, who could not have handled the quarterback situation any better.
All right.
One quick thing. Michael Thomas. This is a guy who's never missed any games. Now he's missed games. Yeah. Then he had that suspension, and now he's not playing again. What's going on with Michael Thomas right now in New Orleans?
Yeah, he's out for this week. He was okay. You know, he dealt with the disciplinary thing. That was done. And he was ready to come back from a high ankle sprain. And then in the walkthrough, like kind of jog through whatever you have before practice, he injured his hamstring. So he's out, and, you know, he had been one of the most durable players. He is insanely intense, so he tries to fight back from everything. But this has been a tough year, and Saints are good, I think, but they're going to be without their best player for like the fifth week in a row.
Amazing.
And I know they're extremely frustrated about it.
And they're without Emmanuel Sanders, too, who's on the COVID list, too, so they're without two of the better
Sanders
wide receivers.
Sanders isn't playing?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to reevaluate this knockout.
Sanders is out, yeah.
Yeah, I would too. I'm thinking about it now with these injuries they're dealing with.
Yeah, I know it. I know.
Ian, great stuff as always. We appreciate it.
Ian, I didn't mean to beat you up, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it.
Hey,
I'm tired of the garbage, Ian. Okay?
My brother is a diehard Jets fan. I've heard all these arguments before. You just do it a little more vociferously.
Ian, I know why you get it, because you're a Mets fan.
And you are a Mets fan.
There's this bond. Where
but unfortunately, Stevie Cohen's not walking in to buy the Jets anytime soon, unfortunately.
Not yet, at least.
All that matters is he's buying the Mets. Okay.
Right. Step one.
Well, that's right.
Thank you, Ian. We appreciate it.
See you, Ian.
Take care, guys.
Ian Rappaport on the NFL. We'll come back. Your calls, 877-337-6666, and some thoughts on these games, including knockout picks if you're in a knockout pool. Joe's got two picks. Joe's on fire. I've been dead for weeks.
But I'm now reevaluating my – I may change these picks. I'll let you know.
Yeah, the New Orleans one.
I have to 1 o'clock. I mean, I have to 1 o'clock on Sunday. So.
Yeah. The New Orleans one feels dangerous right now because, Carolina's been feisty.
Carolina's dangerous. There's no doubt.
Yeah. They've been dangerous, and the Saints are dealing with major injuries right now.
Right.
And it's amazing. Michael Thomas, like, never, ever missed a game. Now he's basically missed the whole year, essentially.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.